Did they cut that song short? I feel like we should be still singing, Bound to the Rock. By my faith in the Lord. I love that. That was good. No. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. And it is a gift to know what your gifts are not. Some people don't have that gift. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you had as good a time as I did. We had about 15 people over to the house. Everybody brought something, and it was fulfilling. We had a wonderful time. So we still have food left over, which I am trying to avoid because I do want to grow in spiritual ways, but not so much in physical ways right now. We're going to be talking today about how to have a great holiday season. So I'm going to give you a few points on how we can do that. And so let's pray together and then we'll get into the message, okay? Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for every season that you bless us with. For the seasons of plenty, for the seasons, God, where we may struggle a bit, but it helps us to draw closer to you. And thank you for this season of Thanksgiving, which, Father, we have been blessed more than we deserve, and you've given us more than we could ask or imagine. Bless our time together today. May your word touch our hearts and move us closer to you and help us to be more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So, how to have a great holiday season. And so much of that depends not on your circumstances, but on you. No one can keep you from having a great holiday season. If you decide, I'm going to have a great month, end of the year, to God's glory, you can make that happen. And God can give you the strength to make that happen. And prayerfully, I can give you a few pointers today that will help you with that. We're going to look at a very simple passage. A statement that the Apostle Paul made over in Acts the 20th chapter that we don't find recorded anywhere else in the Bible. But it's a statement that has an abundance of truth. And we're going to use this as a springboard and then apply it to different areas of our lives. And so, Paul says in Acts 20, and beginning in verse 32, I'll start in verse 32, but this is the scripture that we're going to focus on. He says to the Ephesian elders, and he's meeting with these elders, and really giving them some final words of encouragement, because he's going to depart, and they're most likely not going to see him again. And so, these words, these final words, are of great importance. The words that they would remember for the rest of their lives. And he says, now commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And then here in verse 35, which is projected here, he says, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so this is a scripture that we can all, or at least a phrase that we can all memorize today. So let's say it together. It is more blessed to give than to receive. One more time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if I was a prosperity preacher, I would use this as a springboard to jump into how you all need to empty your pockets to my benefit. But that's not what we're going to do today because that's not what we're about. But these words are very important. Now, you don't find this phrase anywhere else in the Bible except here in Acts 20. And Paul is saying this is something that Jesus said. And it's something that he wanted the elders to remember, and it's something that we need to remember. it is more blessed to give than to receive. We live in a world that is so selfish, and it's selfishness that destroys relationships. It's selfishness that shipwrecks marriages, that destroys the connection in the workplace. It's selfishness that really destroys our country when people are more focused on themselves than they are on the good of others. But we're never happier, I believe, in life than when we're givers and not just looking to receive. We are at our best when we're sacrificing to build and to help others move forward. We're never more like Jesus than when we're giving, because is that not what the nature of God is all about? That God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His one and only Son. God is a giver. God created us to be givers. And so as we strive to take, it ends up making us more miserable than when we give. And so I want to help you with this as we go through this holiday season where everybody's probably making their list of what they want to receive and not so much focused on what they should give. If you want to have a great holiday season, be a giver, not a taker. Now the Bible says over in Luke chapter 6, and this is Jesus, and this, the whole context of this scripture is Jesus is teaching us to not judge other people and to not impose upon them a standard that is higher than the standard that we have for ourselves, because if we do, one day our turn is going to come to be judged, and we're going to wish that we were more lenient and gracious than we were when most likely we put judgment toward others. And so he tells us here in Luke chapter 6, he basically starts off saying, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and you will be forgiven. And then he says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. See, God is saying to us, at least Jesus is saying here, you give grace, God gives you more. You give forgiveness, God gives you more. You give love, God gives you more. You give kindness, God gives you more. You sacrifice, God gives you more. You can't outgive God. You give love, God gives you more. And it's shaking together, pressed down. And he says it overflows. But it's the people who are trying to receive and take who miss this blessing, who miss this promise that God will fill us up if we'll just give. If we're just willing to sacrifice to the good of others. Look at this in the Message version. I love the way the Message version says this. It says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Some of us, we don't even like a statement like that. Be easy on people. Are you kidding me? Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. God knows we are at our best as givers, not takers. When is your marriage its best? When you're looking to give and not just receive. When is your family, when are your children at their best? What are the lessons you're trying to teach them? What are the things you're trying to build into their heart and character? To be givers, to not be takers. When is the church give glory to God? When we all come with the attitude, I am here to give. And not just look what I can get. That is the nature of Christ. That is how you can have a tremendous, awesome holiday season. As you walk into the room, you're looking to build up. You're looking to give. You're looking to what can I do to make things better? And not coming and analyzing, what are people giving to me? What did I receive? You see, the more you give, the more God blesses. But you don't do it to be blessed. You do it to glorify Him. You do it to lift up Jesus. You do it to imitate Him. So, you know, I'm a 3-point sermon guy, right? So I got 3 points for you. It's in areas in which I think we can give, and you can have an awesome, awesome season, even if there's very little under the Christmas tree for you this year. You can have the most awesome season you've ever had if you put these things into practice. So here are the things I want to encourage you to give. And these things cost no money. You won't have to go to the ATM in order to make these things happen. Give encouragement, give thanks, and give truth. Let's talk about, first of all, giving encouragement. Give encouragement. I don't know of anybody who doesn't need encouragement. No one who doesn't. I mean, we all need encouragement. We all need people to build us up in our faith. Even people who are studying the Bible, as they're trying to make it, they need to be encouraged that the vision that God has for them. And sometimes we encourage them with our lives, saying, I was where you are, and I know that the struggle that you're going through, but let me encourage you. If you go ahead and make the right decision, you will never regret it. People need to hear those things. We need to be encouraged in our daily walk. You know, the strongest of us need encouragement. The weakest of us need encouragement. And the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another, how often, church? Encourage one another daily. You know, this is one of those one another's that we're encouraged to do every day. You're not told to rebuke daily, to admonish daily. But you are told to encourage daily. He says, but encourage one day, daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, when you give encouragement, it's good for your soul, but it's also good for those that you're seeking to build up. Because sometimes people walk into this building and they're not at a good place. And it helps them when someone says, brother, sister, I was thinking about you, and I'm praying for you, and I want you to know that your life and your faith, it encourages me, and I want to inspire you to keep on keeping on, to keep on doing what you're doing. You know, my wife is such a great source of encouragement because sometimes I go to meetings, and on my way back, I call her, and she says, well, how did it go? And I said, oh, it was so long. The meeting was like 3 hours. And she said, come on home and I love you and it's going to be all right. And I go, praise God, I got a place to go where there are no meetings. There's just love and encouragement. Encouragement is an essential ingredient to spiritual growth. You know, I want to offer up some encouragement today. I want to encourage our worship team. If you're on the worship team, stand up. If you're on the worship team. At any point, if you've been on the worship team, Michaela, is Michaela standing up? Oh, there you go. Don't sit down yet. Man, you guys have a gift. Kathy, when you were singing that song this morning, I thought an angel was singing with us, sister. You were flat awesome. I mean, all of you guys, I got all your names down there so I can pray for you individually. All right, Layla, Garnett, Kevin, Barbara, Kimberly, Tarika, James Dawson. Didn't James do a good job starting off that, you know,
bound to the rock, bound to the rock.
I mean, you know, don't sometimes you wish you could get down that low like James does. Emily, I mean, what a beautiful gift. What a wonderful voice. Angelina. Tony Page has even jumped up there. Now Tony's on the worship team now. And we appreciate you guys. And we want you to know, we know you get here early, way before everybody else does, just to be able to encourage us and lead us in worship. And we want you to know, we do not take it for granted. You guys are awesome. You're incredible. Keep on doing what you're doing, all right? And you can go ahead and be seated. And they do not get paid. There's no extra benefit for being on the worship team as far as monetary things are concerned. I'm sorry about that, Kevin. We can't pay you, but you will receive your reward in heaven. And maybe when we get to heaven, the Lord will say, will the Westchester worship team come up and lead us in a song? And they'll get up there and then all of us will have great voices. And we'll all be singing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, we'll all be singing together. And Kevin Brooks will be leading a song, and we'll be, and he'll have a new body, and we won't recognize him, but we'll know that it's him by his voice. So give encouragement. Take the time today to send someone a text, an email, however you communicate, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. But most, I think the best way is face to face. To look someone in the eye and to let them know, I just want to encourage you. Your faithfulness over the years, your resilience, the fact that you're still here, I appreciate you. And I want you to know that your faith helps me to continue to be faithful. You know, I've got some old friends in the room today who, they're still here. And I'm encouraged by them. You know, Derek and Lynn Clay were students in my campus ministry back in Tallahassee, Florida in the 80s. I knew them when they were both single, before they got married and before Derek took me through all the trauma that he did in his youth. But he's become a spiritual man, and they're a wonderful couple. But we need to let people like that know, appreciate you. Still here. Keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. Let's give encouragement. Secondly, let's give thanks. Now, we talked about this some last week, so I don't need to focus on it a lot. But when I'm talking about giving thanks, obviously, number one, we want to give thanks to God. But we also want to take time to stop and to thank people for the difference that they make in our lives. You know, there are people that helped you get through 2019. You wouldn't be here without them. They were there for you. Don't take that for granted. Go back and thank them. Those people who, when you had no one else to turn to, and the great thing about the church is that you've got people that you can call on and that want to really entertain your mess when there are people outside the church who have to pay people to sit down and listen to them confess all their garbage. Right. Here you can get it for free. All right. Now, we're not just going to hear your garbage. We're going to try to help you get through it. But thank God for the people who've put up with you and believed in you. And sometimes have just been there just to listen to you. Didn't say anything, just listen. And then you disciple yourself out of your mess. You know, when you've been a Christian for a while, you know what you should do. You just need somebody to listen to. It's like, you know, I need discipling, okay? What do you need? Then they talk and they go, and I know I need to do this, and you go, good, great, go do it. Lord, God bless you. That's it. You're not looking for a sermon. Just looking for a friend, right? Now, Paul says to the Philippians, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you would carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he goes on and says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. How encouraging. He's thanking God for them. And who are, as you think about it, who are your partners in the gospel? Who are those best friends? Because, you know, you have sometimes people in the world, who are your best friends? And the list, there is no list. But we have best friends in Christ. Prayerfully we do. You know, thank your spouse. Thank your husband. Thank your wife. Don't take it for granted. You know, just take a minute to stop and say, I'm thankful for you. Thank your parents. If they're still living, you know, just pick up the phone. Just say thank you. Thank your children. Thank you. I mean, especially if your kids are striving to know Jesus, thank them for the effort. Thank them for being interested in Jesus. Thank them for being good kids. You know, we need to thank the people who are serving in the church. Sometimes we get here and we don't know that people get here way before we do. Our ushers. You know, I did the class in Kids Kingdom and I went around and I gave everybody a hug just to say thank you. I don't even have children in the Kids Kingdom anymore. But I'm thankful that there are people who are willing to make that sacrifice to teach our kids about Jesus. Just thankful. Don't take them for granted. Don't take our ushers for granted. Don't take our counters for granted. You know, when, you know, praise God, we've got, you know, I could tell you some horror stories about contribution. About people that took contribution, pocketed contribution. You know, we've got a great count team because Derek Clay is in charge of it and nobody touches that money. Not and still lives. I mean, we've got great people who are taking care of this, and we've got great elders who are making sure that that money is spent in a godly way to God's glory. But just take a minute just to thank somebody. Just 30 seconds. Just thank somebody around. Just thank them for whatever you can think of. Just say thank you. Come on now. You can thank somebody. You know, Thursday, I think I mentioned this earlier. Okay, that's enough thanks. That's enough thanks. You know, Thursday, I mentioned, we had like 15 people over to the house, and everybody brought something over, and we stood in a big circle, and we prayed, and I looked around, and I said, you know, thank God for all my good friends here. You know, the Ronanders were there, the Hooks were there, the Sean Barnes and his family were there, and we even let Christina's boyfriend come over to the house. I just need to check him out a little bit closer. But just standing there, you know, praying together, you know, before we overindulge in a big meal, just thank you, God, for friends like this. And sometimes you take things for granted because no one was getting drunk. There was no profanity. People weren't going off gossiping about so-and-so. And when it was all over, I pretty much had to usually have to urge them, please go home. We're thankful, but you know, now I got to take a nap and I don't want you taking photos of me while I'm sleeping. So go on home. But just the family of God that we have in the church. And I know the church is not perfect. But aren't you thankful for the people that God's put in your life in this ministry? And we've got 9 other regions like this that are striving to give glory to God. And we're far from perfect. We got so much to work on. But we can do this together, giving thanks to to God and to one another as we work to give Him glory. And then finally, give truth. Give truth. And this is probably the most difficult one because we need encouragement. We need people to build us up. We need to be thankful. But we also need people in our lives who give us truth, who don't flatter, but help us to see ourselves as we really are. And the church should be different than the world, where people kiss up and may say things that aren't even true just to avoid the conflict or to make you feel good about something you shouldn't feel good about. But in the church, we should have genuine concern for each other where we speak truth. And I would not be here if people hadn't spoken truth to me. And, you know, I had a conflict with a brother a couple of weeks ago, and he came over to the house and we sat down and he spoke truth to me. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't like the truth he was speaking. And it was definitely a test of my humility, and I caught myself, and eventually I had to say, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I understood, and I had to look at it from the perspective, this is God speaking truth to me. And because, you know, we always say no one's perfect, but then when people point out our imperfections, we go, what you doing? Well, nobody's perfect. Yeah, but wait a minute now, but I don't want to know about my imperfections. The Bible says that in the church, he said, instead speaking the truth in love, instead of flattery, instead of deceit, instead of faking it, we speak the truth in love. Says, in that way, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. You can't even grow spiritually if people aren't speaking truth. See, when you see where you fall short, that gives you an opportunity to grow. When friends love you enough to say, hey, I think you need to work on this. I think you could be better at this. Or here's an error in your life. Have you thought about dealing with this? Do you tell your friends the truth? Do you speak truth? It really concerns me when I see people together and they're drawn together because of similarities, but they don't speak truth to each other. It's a safe place for the wrong reasons. That you have a bad attitude, I have a bad attitude, therefore we get along great. That's not truth. We need people who tell us honestly, what we need to hear, and not just what we want to hear. John said this, he says, dear children, let us not love with words of speech, but with actions and in truth. Is there truth in your relationships? And I don't think you have to get emotional or upset to speak truth. Truth can be spoken calmly, quietly, detail. Now, someone can tell you the truth without raising their voice. That's just prideful. That's arrogant. You're not kind. Sometimes you just need to hear truth. You could have done better. Is there truth in your relationships? Truth most often has to be spoken several times for it to sink in. You know, sometimes we have the attitude, I told them once. Who gets it the first time? Oftentimes truth has to be spoken by more than one person for you to get it. You know, people who are close to you, they're telling you, and someone comes in who is not that close to you, they tell you the same thing, they go, oh! And other people going, I've been trying to tell you that the whole time. Why didn't you get it? So you need truth spoken often and from different people from time to time, just in order to get it. And in the church, you need to give truth if we're going to grow and to give glory to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, Verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, by nature, I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to like me. My whole 44 years as a Christian, God has been trying to beat that out of me. You are not going to be a people pleaser. You're going to speak the truth. You're going to speak the truth in love. And every time I just try to avoid the conflict or just will someone else do it, he throws me right back into the middle of it. I mean, I went to a church service a couple of weeks ago, and when I finished, there were like 9 brothers surrounding me, coming at me with all kinds of issues. And I'm like, Lord, how in the world did I get here? And then we had other meetings where we spoke truth, but I understood that going through that, it was refining my character and it was removing all the impurities in these relationships, and it was helping us to deal with Satan and his efforts to divide and deceive, and we had to get to the truth of where things really were. And that's the great thing about in the church, is that you get to speak truth. And if you do it in humility, it can give glory to God and take people to a whole nother level in their spiritual lives. The best friend you have is the one who tells you the truth about where you are spiritually. Not the one who pats you on the back when you yourself know that your attitude is not right. And you need to praise God for the people who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and love you and tell you the truth because they care about you, because they want to help you to get to a better place spiritually so that you can give glory to God, so you can be set free from self-deception. That's what we need in our lives. And so I want to encourage you this holiday season to not just give encouragement, to not just give thanks, but to give truth. As you go into 2020, ask good people, what do you think I need to work on? What do you think I could be better at? Give them truth. Help them that their lives could give glory to God. In Proverbs 28, verse 23, this is not projected. This is free. Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man in the end will gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. The people that I appreciate the most in my life are the people who help me to see myself the way I really am, because they had a vision of what I could be. Give truth. And I think if we do these things, we can have a great holiday. So start today. Encourage someone. Thank someone. And then when you have opportunity, let's give truth. Let's build each other up in our most holy faith. Let's give glory to God. Let's help each other to get closer and closer to heaven. Have a great holiday season. Don't take a holiday from Jesus, but put these things into practice, and may God give you the strength to do so. God bless.